It's currently 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The date is Tuesday, August 1st, in the 6th year of the Age of the Blood Forest, and you're listening to KBFR. This is Blood Forest Radio. Ortega's 6th year as mayor of San Francisco. A little history for those too young to remember. She whipped this town into shape just in time to save us from ourselves. Gang warfare, cult rituals, mass suicides as the Blood Forest closed in, she put her foot down on each one by one and rallied the citizens under her iron will. And no one knows exactly how she did it. Well, besides by being a badass, guess that'll do for now. To celebrate, city officials and high-profile citizens have gathered in what remains of the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art for food, music, and heartfelt speeches. Intern Tammy has informed me that there are a few newcomers to this year's festivities, including Hal Bodega, head barista at the Alcalde's favorite coffee shop, Jennifer DeWitt, a yoga instructor, Jason Crimby, a French horn player with a well-groomed beard, and a man who goes only by the name Skate. Tammy, if you're listening, try to talk to that last one. He seems promising. There are also the regulars. City Councilman Wilmington Price, Grand Treasurer Robert Crenshaw, BFRB Lieutenant General Michaela Winry, and Brad. Brad Smith. Got a thing or two to say about him. He's done a fine job as general of the BFRB. Not fine, perfect. Perfect missions, perfect tactics, perfect hair, perfect, 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 perfect. Christ. Winry's almost as bad as he is. But at least, she smokes, swears, and makes mistakes. So, Canada Steve's back in town. You all know him, don't you? That giant, feral, lumberjacky man with the black leather jacket and beard bedecked with mouse skull ornaments? Who has a Canadian accent thicker than a brain-damaged hockey player? Yeah, we all know Canada Steve, our town's beloved mangy vagrant scavenger. Well, Steve is back from another weeks-long haul through the Blood Forest on his noble quest among the ruins of our city for objects that serve as poignant reminders that humanity was once still a thing. Or in other words, scrounging random crap he can sell. And he's brought back quite a haul this time. In fact, he's so flush with the fruits of his labors that he's actually paid me for advertising space on this very show. How delightful. Paid advertising, just another wonderful idea brought to you by my intern Tammy. No one asked you to do this, Tammy. Your job entails 3 things. Bringing me coffee, unclogging my toilet, and stealing biodiesel from local eateries to run the generators that keep the lights on, the show on the air, and the high voltage fence that rings my fortress on Telegraph Hill electrified. Where was I? Oh yeah, Canada Steve. Here we go, the first commercial in Blood Forest Radio history. Hello, San Francisco. Canada Steve is me, the guy who has all the prices. Very low, also reason and reliable. But what is he have? Things that are good, probably? Why, yes! There are several objects, high quality and very hygienic. Like maybe a box of Lady Vagina bloodhole plugs, or a fluffy comfort animal. All to keep you happy and smell nice. Also, we, who is also I, have new parts for things that might possibly need to have been fixed. Like maybe broken espresso machine? Or how about hood ornament from Mercedes-Benz driving machine? Wear it around your neck, why not? Such fashion. So come, talk to me, Canada Steve, at Canada Steve's Wonder Exporium, where you will find the best price in all the land, or else possibly don't. Wow, that was pathetic. What's more pathetic is that I was paid with a cask of Maker's Mark, a Japanese bondage magazine, and an unsold box of t-shirts that have a map of Korea wearing a cartoon Viking helmet with the words Norse Korea in big gothic lettering. Actually, that last one is pretty funny. Norse Korea. How can you not love a shirt that says Norse Korea? Tammy has informed me that the concert is underway in the Museum of Modern Art. Not the classy kind of concert, mind you, more of the hipster kind. If you recall, a few hipsters started a music institute earlier this year. New music for a new era, whether you want it or not, was their motto. Of course, the organization became too mainstream for its members. It was, after all, the only one of its kind. Splinter groups formed, then those groups splintered, until the mottos ranged from a series of incomprehensible Tibetan warbling noises to the singular letter K. Tonight, they have come together in the only way they know how. Not together at all, on opposite stages in the concert hall. My condolences to those listening. Tammy has spotted our friend Skate on numerous stages so far. At least he seems to enjoy it. She says it's hard to tell whether he actually knows the handpan, or the guitar, or the wine glass, or whether he's part of these bands at all. So far he's played turbo jazz, thrash bebop, subsonic acapella dubstep. It could very well be he just climbed on stage and started on the nearest instruments. Keep us updated, Tammy. Skate may be the most interesting part of the concert. No, scratch that. The only interesting part of the concert. Reports of a plague of nightmares sweeping across San Francisco are in, with over 70 cases thus far. Now, ordinarily, I would poo-poo such stories. After all, when your waking life is a nightmare, what kind of dreams do you expect? These nightmares all have something in common. They all have... Jesus. This is kind of hard for me to say. All the nightmares that have been reported feature long-dead family members who were killed by the Blood Forest when it first came to Earth. Family members who have sort of merged with the Blood Forest, who have been brought back from the dead. In all these dreams, the ghosts of our dead loved ones beg us to join them in the Blood Forest, that we will be together again, that we will live forever, that nothing bad will ever happen again. Now, a rational, cynical part of me thinks there's an explanation for all this. That it's all just coincidence, or happenstance, or a weather balloon refracting the light from Venus through some swamp gas or something. But that's a daytime version of me. At night, it's different. At night, I'm like the rest of you. I'm small and helpless and afraid. Like a tiny baby animal faced with a raging forest fire. At night, she calls to me. So anyway, if you have any further questions, then take them to the BFRB. They'll all be happy to help you. Especially Brad. Yes, go bother Brad. That stupid, handsome, blonde motherfucker. Brad. Tammy has just informed me that the concert has ended early, to the relief of all, and that Alcalde Ortega has begun a speech. So far, only those with proficiency in a remote dialect of Mexican Spanish can understand her, Tammy included. But none can deny that her stern face, severe tone, protruding chin, and fervent finger wagging inspire confidence. Now I'm informed that she's stamping with every other word, the box below her sounding like a drum. Alcalde Ortega truly is. Wait a minute. Tammy, you there? Damn, she cut out. stupid cheap walkie-talkies. Hold on a second. Sounds like she's just... Okay, she's back. And guys, things are not looking good in the MoMA. Tammy reports that burst flies are loose in the dinner hall, kitchen, gallery, and armory. Most partygoers, including Alcalde Ortega, have taken refuge in Feeder A to avoid direct contact. Before you panic, let's take a moment to remember that burst flies are not dangerous. They pose no known threat to our health and have no diet of living flesh and blood, unlike most blood forest creatures. They are, however, very, very gross. Just gross. Words don't do justice to how gross they are. While they may lack mandibles, stingers, or a carapace, in fact, they've been described as feeling like something between lukewarm lasagna and last week's orange peel, they can and will burst. And they can coat an area 30 feet in diameter when that happens. If you encounter a burst fly, keep your distance and call the BFRB, keep watch until they arrive, and warn fellow citizens of their presence. If a burst fly is after you, run to the nearest indoor area and shut the door behind you. Contact the BFRB with your designated BFRB flare gun and remain quiet and out of sight until a disposal team arrives. Of course, if one bursts on you, you're kinda on your own. It'll take 2 hours scrubbing in the surf to get rid of that stuff, and no one will want to be near you before then. It seems Tammy's gone quiet again, so let's go to the weather. Clear skies tonight with highs in the mid to upper 50s, lows in the upper 40s. Partially cloudy tomorrow with fog in the early morning, low 60s early in the day, mid 70s by noon, and upper 50s that night. The rest of the week seems cloudy, but by the weekend, things should clear up. You know, if you went by the weather, things seem pretty normal in San Francisco. But we all know what a summer heat wave might do to change that. What's that, Tammy? Well, it seems we've got a hero on our hands, and go on, take a guess who it is. Yep, somehow, in little more than the time it took for me to warn you about them, Brad frickin' Smith corralled the burst flies into a meat locker and shut them inside. His plan involves something along the lines of decoy paper planes, fruit salad, and roller skates. I don't even want to know. Tammy, did any burst fly juice get on him? No, of course not. Really, who's surprised at this point? Ugh, at least now the alcalde can continue her speech. Still, I gotta wonder, how did those burst flies get inside? Oh. I'm being told that, apparently, Brad caught the culprits as well. A couple kids, ragged, feral types, covered in dirt. Their leader is that little orphan girl that calls herself Honeybee. You know, that quasi-feral monkey child that runs around the forest with a bow like a prepubescent Katniss Everdeen. They release the burst flies in the building through a side door. It's a wonder they managed to sneak in, given the BFRB security, and it's a wonder none of them were slimed by the burst flies. This is a problem with the youth of today. Always running off into the blood forest with their improvised weapons and their Lord of the Flies war paint. How dare they have fun while we're not looking? How dare they? Anyhow, Tammy, what does Skate have to say about all this? He's the last band standing? Well done, Skate, I guess. So the night is saved. Sure, I've got to give credit where credit's due. The world can be thankful for people like Skate, Alcalde Ortega, Michaela Winry, and yes, fucking Brad Smith. Without them, San Francisco wouldn't be here today. When you go to bed tonight and pray to whatever fake god you believe in, keep those names close. It's been over 6 years since the Age of the Blood Forest began. 6 years since our species was reduced from the globe-spanning masters of the entire planet to a collection of shriveled derelicts huddled in enclaves along the edges of the ocean, the blood forest looming at our doorsteps, always watching, always hungry. It's a bleak time. So once in a while, I like to stop and reflect on all the things that the blood forest wiped out. Things we never really wanted. Things we could do without. No more overpriced college textbooks. No more televangelists. No pop-up ads and spam emails advertising pornography of a strange and dubious nature. No more vegans haranguing you about wholesale environmental devastation caused by cattle farming. No more wholesale environmental devastation caused by cattle farming. No more unboxing videos or conspiracy theory videos or whiny vlogs produced by privileged narcissistic teens. No more YouTube. No more Twitter. No more Instagram. No more Snapchat. No more Tinder. No more Facebook posts by relatives with political views you do not share. No more Facebook. No more internet. All gone. No more global warming. No more ocean acidification. No more light pollution to block out the stars. No more dubstep. No more 90-minute commutes. No more DMV. No more having to stand up on the subway. No more radical Islamic terrorism. No more radical white supremacy. No more public swimming pools. No more income tax. No more lying awake at night, too tired to stay awake, too scared to close our eyes, wandering through the corridors of our mind, looking for some insight that never comes. All gone. No more fast food. No more fast cars. No more advertisements taunting you with a life you'll never achieve. No more authorities to tell you no. No more barriers holding you back. No more unfulfilled lives. No more squandered youths. No more bitter old ages. No more standing in the corner at a party while the music and conversation blares around you, feeling lost and alone in a crowd. No more crowds. No more wondering whether your life has no purpose. No more purposelessness. No more false hope. No more true hope. No more. That's all I've got. Tune in again tomorrow, and remember, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm just saying goodnight. Blood Forest Radio is written by Ian P. Johnson and Daniel Lindsley and performed by Ian P. Johnson. Music for this episode was provided by Tim and Derek Hammersley. We're taking listener letters. Send us your questions to letters@bloodforestradio.com as if you yourself were in the BFR universe and just might answer them. The letters might be edited for content and wording, but we'll do the best we can. If you like the show, rate and review us on iTunes. Feedback means a lot. The fear of the day is cerebroarachnophagiophobia, the fear that spiders will eat your brain from the inside out.